You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What the left is pretending to be so afraid of. Is it The Handmaid's Tale coming to life here in 21st century America? What is going on out there? I'll tell you this, and boy, I am so happy for the three guests we have tonight. Sam Dixon, who you just heard from in the first hour, Roger Devlin still to come in the third hour, and now Brad Griffin. We're tackling the issue of the repeal of Roe versus Wade from the
moral standpoint.
The legal, the moral, and the sexual standpoint. Sam took the legal. Brad's going to take the moral. Roger a little bit later, the sexual. But, yes, is that what's happening? Well, Brad Griffin, the founder and editor-in-chief of OccidentalDissent.com, one of our very favorite websites, is back with us tonight. He's been writing prolifically over the course of the last week about this issue. And it just goes to show, Brad, as I was talking with Paul Kersey about last week, my God, you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the future is going to hold. It's unpredictable. It's chaotic. You had Elon Musk buying Twitter a couple of weeks ago. And then now this week, are we seeing a cultural shift, or is this white Christian America in its death throes? Brad, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me. First of all, I would say that I did not predict this. I knew that I was aware that the Supreme Court was going to be ruling on abortion this year in the Dobbs case. I knew that was coming up. And what I expected to happen is I expected that the Republicans would, on the court, would find some excuse to kick the can down the road, maybe uphold the Mississippi law, I believe, and kind of like, you know, restrict abortion a little, but, you know, leave Roe in place. Because, I mean, that's what we're not used to seeing bold moves from Republicans on the Supreme Court, quite the opposite. In fact, the most recent decision they had was the Bostock decision, which was a big victory for France. Saying that, you know, transgenderism is covered by the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So needless to say, like, I had an extremely skeptical, dim view that this was going anywhere. And what I thought was going to happen was that, after all, spending decades of investing and having a Republican majority on the Supreme Court, that Roe was going to be upheld and white Christian evangelical voters were going to be deflated and disappointed, but would, you know, show up as usual for a host of other reasons in the midterms. I mean, you can throw a dart against the wall with all the crises we have going on. But like I said,
Brad, this is Keith. Let me just say this a minute. What has happened since Roe came down is that you have this legal mandate that you have abortions, and they've been basically allowing certain states to trim it back now, then trim it back a little more, and then trim it back a little more. That's what I expected, but I really didn't expect them to boldly come out and not only overrule Roe versus Wade, but say the whole thing was a sack of BS.
I'm pleasantly surprised, and from what I saw, the reasoning the reasoning here, you know, and as you hear constantly every day now on CNN and MSNBC, is like by saying this is BS, you know, they're imperiling a whole range of other decisions, which was based on, you know, the same kind of BS, like, you know, the gay marriage decision, Obergefell or whatever it's called, Lawrence versus Texas.
No, that even going back to Brown versus Board of Education.
I was in law school
when all of this was going on. When I was in law school going through this, I was naive. I was trying to make sense. I said, these are great intellectual giants. I would read all something like Roe versus Wade and say, it makes no sense whatsoever. What are they? Well, you know, it's nothing there.
Well, we're going to cover this in depth. We're really going to take our time. As I said earlier in the program, the last couple of months, we had two special series, March Around the World, Confederate History Month. We're clear of those now. I don't say clear of those as if they're an obligation. I mean, I had so much fun the last couple of months. But now we are able to refocus our full attention to current events and breaking news. And boy, do we have something to cover tonight. We are doing a deep dive into this issue tonight. I don't know if we'll be covering it every week. I don't know if there's going to be anything else to cover until June when this either actually comes to fruition or not. Obviously, the intention of the leak was to put political media and even threats of violence against the Supreme Court justices that are in the Alito Five, as Buchanan calls it. But, Brad, let me ask you this. Could we possibly be so lucky? I saw that the media is saying that this is just Roe is going to be just the first domino to fall that might undo. This was actually AOC. AOC is the one who said this, that this is the first domino to fall that will undo the so-called advances. She put advances.
And the conservative media, by the way, is saying that what this is going to do is this is going to stand alone. None of these other equally bogus decisions is going to be in jeopardy at all. So you got those two polar opposites.
Well, the conservative, even Alito himself, some of the decision that was leaked, he defended his decision by saying how much it adversely affects blacks. So even the conservatives are hanging black death rates through abortion on their
Democrats are the real racists
on the decision. Anyway, Brad, we're chasing rabbits here. But do you think that this could go beyond this, as the left seems to fear? That seems a little bit too good.
Well,
to be true,
maybe
I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm sure you've noticed how they've changed their tune. You know, when the gay marriage decision, when the so-called marriage equality debate was going on, the liberals insisted that it wasn't a slippery slope. Now, one thing would not lead to another. And as we saw clearly, not even a day after gay marriage came down, trans became the new craze. So, I mean, the way they see it is that one thing does lead to another, and that these decisions have major effects. Like, for example, when the gay marriage ruling came down on the Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken, gay marriage was banned in most states, right? And there wasn't a popular majority either. So, like, the court is not that public opinion changed, and then we had the court decision, and then public opinion changed, right? So even though after gay marriage became the law of the land, most people came around after the fact of supporting it, and they're afraid that could happen in reverse.
That's why the Supreme Court is so important, the supremacy clause.
Well, they shouldn't be, but if they are going to be, I guess we'd rather have them ruling in our favor. Folks, we're just getting started with one of my very favorite scribes, Brad Griffin, longtime friend. I'm at his website every day. Even when he's not on the air, we quote him. OccidentalDescent.com. Make it a daily read. We'll be right back with the man himself next.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Under my thumb, it's a suburban dog who's just had her day. Under my thumb, a girl who has just changed her ways. It's down to me. Yes, it is the way she does just what she's told down to me. The change has come. She's under my thumb.
Oh, what a great song. Yes, the change has come, and a change that nobody saw coming a week ago tonight. Roe versus Wade, I mean, this is one of the absolute templates of the left. This is a foundational cornerstone of the whole thing. And so much about the radical egalitarian movement is tied into it. I mean, you talk about radical feminism, no-fault divorce. There's just a lot of things that come with this. And we'll be talking with Roger Devlin more about that in the next hour. Of course, it had predecessors. Like Loving, like Brown versus Board. But if you've been away on another planet, Brad Griffin gives a quick synopsis of what's going on here. Brad goes so far as to say this has been a momentous week for white Christian nationalism. Roe is likely to be struck down by a 5-4 majority in the Supreme Court as early as next month. Brad writes the Democrats will try to codify Roe before the midterms, but are going to fail due to the Senate filibuster. Three of the five justices, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, who are voting to strike down Roe, were appointed by Donald Trump, who lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton, but who won via the Electoral College. Brad writes that this decision has completely transformed Donald Trump's legacy. Fourth point, by taking so many extreme stands on cultural issues to appease wealthy donors and coastal urbanite libtards, Democrats have narrowed their coalition and lost critical elections, which has gradually reshaped the federal courts. The rural and white working class bias of the Senate and Electoral College is tilting the system against the Democrats, and it is getting worse, Brad writes. Even when Democrats win by a landslide, like they did in the 2018 midterm, they don't pick enough Senate seats to pass the progressive agenda. And finally, the demise of Roe is the beginning of the Democratic collapse that has been the subject of so much discussion in recent months. This is the biggest victory for social conservatives ever in the culture war. Brad, more takeaways from you, and then we'll toss it back to Keith. But you look at this thing, you've been writing so much about it at OccidentalDescent.com. What about this excites you so much?
Oh, I mean, it's exciting on so many levels. First level is that, you know, it returns a major issue to the states. And given the 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court, there's reason to, and the domino effect that we know about, there's reason to believe that more issues will be returned to the states. And we tend to know how that goes on, you know, through across American history. This could be the start of a decentralizing trend, or kind of a return to states' rights, which is great. Second thing is that, like I wrote today, it is like watching this decision come down was like watching a massive rift open up on an Antarctic glacier, and that just that the fact that happened, you know, signals that the dominance of these people is really on the wane. I mean, we're decades
meltdown
past
was new, incredible,
right? We're decades past the New Deal coalition. The mainstream media has retreated to the coasts. Joe Biden's poll numbers are in the absolute toilet. And this is another thing. I think Sam might be too pessimistic. I do not. I don't. if there doesn't seem to be like much of a reaction to this. And I mean, you don't see no wild swing in the polls showing the Democrats are, now that the news of this has broken out, that the Democrats are poised for a big comeback. It's kind of going down with a whimper, at least so far. It'll activate parts of their base. It does, but much of the rest of their base doesn't seem to care. But just the fact that something like as big as this, a blow is to the Democratic base of, you know, professional class, career women, Hillary Clinton types, that can happen. You know, it is a sign that their power is on the wane, and that's what they're freaking out about.
Well, what they're afraid of, really, Brad, is this. They thought this buggy didn't have a reverse gear on it.
Right.
They thought it was all forward gears, first, second, or third. And now they found a reverse on it, and they are apoplectic. I mean, you talk about, look, Elizabeth Warren, AOC, it's like they defecated and fell back in it. I mean, they're just going crazy.
One thing that's very important is that, you know, like, I mean, obviously, if Roe versus Wade was just completely done away with, this would just return the issue back to the states. It would divide the states. I mean, you would actually have a real division there between pro-choice states and pro-life states, where, like, when you quit, and liberals are dwelling on this, where you cross borders, it has a real difference that, you know, the kind that hasn't been seen since segregation or slavery. It's going to be a real sharp divide. Now I think the consequences of this are kind of exaggerated because for two reasons. First of all, I mean, if people really want an abortion, all they'll have to do is go to a blue state. And second of all, most abortions, you know, I believe there's some kind of new pill. So over half of abortions are
morning after
pill. So, I mean, I think the actual effect of it, another thing is abortion is just going down anyway. I mean, abortion has been in decline since the 1980s. So, I mean, I think a lot of the, you know, panic over we'll be outnumbered and all this stuff, I think that's kind of overwrought. Fertility is at a record low.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
Brad, I tell you what it comes down to. It's a basic psychological difference between a leftist and a regular person, just like it was in the Civil War. They cannot fathom having something taken away from them that they value more than anything else, and that is their ability to forcibly remake us in their image. Now they couldn't do that. So consequently, if one state goes pro-life, another goes pro-choice, that is worse than the Earth spinning out of its orbit or something. You know, that is what they live for.
Mm-hmm. You see, these people believe history itself is on their side. History itself bends in their direction, and a lot of us, you know, kind of I think maybe have gotten too pessimistic, thinking, you know, demographics is completely doomed us. And
destiny.
One of the surprising things about this, well, I've been continuing to watch the polls, and apparently, like, Joe Biden is more unpopular with Hispanics than whites now. Now whether they actually vote differently, I mean, we'll see. come the midterms, but
they need to send him to the tanning booth.
Yeah, even that is just an example of, you know, you never know what's going to happen, right? And
well, there has been some data, to your point, Brad, that you know, I had always considered, and I don't necessarily have a change of mind on this yet. I mean, when you had non-white immigration into this country, it was always considered to be a straight ticket Democratic voter registration drive. There has, however, been some data that came out in the 2020 presidential election that the left had gone so far to woke that some of the Hispanics in Florida and Texas, for example, were beginning to vote Republican in much greater numbers than had ever been seen before.
And the more devout Hispanics probably are in the pro-life edge of the ledger. I don't know.
But. I'm not saying there are allies. It was an interesting data. I read some statistics about that. I don't know how much stock you can put into it, but otherwise Trump would have been succumbed in Florida and Texas.
There's a lot of panic going on about this. We'll talk about it.
Not a commercial. Let's see. Oh, well, I was going to say this about the morning after thing. Just very quickly. Yes, I mean, statistically speaking, you've written about this, Brad, and we'll read some more of your musings in just a moment. But statistically, you talk about rape and incest and life of the mother. Statistically, these account for just very low single digit with regard to the number of total abortions. 95%+ of the abortions are taken for lifestyle reasons. Women don't want to have to abandon their position in the office cubicle. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They want to continue to party. They want to continue to lead a hedonistic lifestyle. That's why most abortions, and I mean 95%+, occur. And for those that don't, you have the morning after pill, which you can get at any pharmacy over the counter without even a prescription. You get the morning after pill, you take it, you don't have to have an abortion, you take that pill, and if anything's going on, it's not going on after that.
You're right. Right. This is, you know, abortion is a scourge. There's been a lot of people will focus on, you know, well, black people are more likely to have abortions than whites. But when you look at, there's been 63 million abortions, and 20 million are black. I think 30 million are white. It's just really, it's a great evil. And you got, and just from a religious perspective, with an evil that great going on, it's no wonder we're cursed.
Hang on right there, Brad. Brad's got charts and graphs. You just got to read at OccidentalDescent.com. He puts out the statistics and the data. We'll be right back with Brad Griffin.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
All of the women, children, and elderly people have been evacuated from the sprawling Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol. That's according to Ukrainian and Russian officials. Hundreds of civilians were trapped for weeks at the plant amid intense Russian attacks. Ukrainian fighters remain holed up in the complex, the Kremlin trying to capture the plant, where the last sliver of resistance remains in the southern port city. First Lady Jill Biden says she remains concerned about the next phases of the humanitarian crisis prompted by the war. She made the comments while visiting refugee mothers and their children in Romania. Elsewhere in the conflict, a spokesman for the Ukrainian military says they've regained control of a town about 12 miles northeast of Kharkiv. The spokesman said in a YouTube video that Russia is continuing a full-scale attack in hopes of establishing full control of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, folks. This is Wayne Allen Root. I know you've heard me talk about the Liberty Projects and their wonderful website, VetsAndHorses.com. They are headquartered at Shiloh Ranch here in Southern Nevada. Shiloh Ranch was the late actor Tony Curtis's horse rescue ranch. The Liberty Projects purchased the property and has repurposed it for multiple military vet programs, including rescuing and training wild Mustangs. The program is so successful, they're turning away veterans who need help, and we can't let that continue. J.P. Hoffman and his family and friends have been keeping the program alive from their very own pockets. I just learned that they need to raise $250,000 immediately to continue full operations. I told J.P. he could always count on Team Root. We can't let any veteran be turned away, ever. 100% of all donations are used for the program and only the program to help vets and horses. Government does very little for vets. It's up to us. Help fund this great organization at VetsAndHorses.com. That's VetsAndHorses.com.
Rick Strike crossed the finish line first at the Kentucky Derby. The horse was a long shot and final entry in the 148th annual event, outpacing favorite Epicenter. Afghanistan's Taliban rulers have ordered all Afghan women to wear head-to-toe clothing in public. The decree calls for women to only show their eyes, recommending they wear the head-to-toe burqa, evoking similar restrictions to when the Taliban last ruled the country between 1996 and 2001. It's the latest in a series of repressive edicts. The CDC is looking into the deaths of 5 children linked to the growing number of mysterious pediatric hepatitis cases across the country. The cases, 109 of them in 24 states and Puerto Rico, date back to October. The latest case count is a steep increase from a couple of weeks ago when only 11 cases have been identified. That prompted the CDC to issue an alert for physicians to be on the lookout for such cases. For the fifth straight week, the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 had a losing week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I got to admit to you, ladies and gentlemen, I have, over the course of the last 20 years, disagreed with Sam Dixon on a couple of occasions and on a couple of different topics at my peril. And at each turn, he's always proven to be right. I have learned a great deal from Sam over the years. Even when I thought I was right, he eventually proved that I wasn't. And I don't know if he's right about this or not. He was saying in the first hour, he very well could be. I wouldn't bet against it. Talking about how this will be repealed if and when the Democrats get a outright majority in the House and Senate, and they'll stack the courts, they'll do away with the filibuster. That's true. So is this a temporal
victory? Well, that's one thing. Let me just put the other side. The other side is what the left is saying, which is that this was the linchpin of the sexual revolution, and basically it's going to turn America into a embodiment of the Handmaiden's Tale.
Well, and we'll be talking more about the sexual revolution and the impact of this on relationship dynamics and so much more with Roger Devlin in the third hour. Just three great guests tackling this from three different ways, Sam, Brad, and Roger. But Brad's assignment was to tackle it from the moral perspective. I'm reading now here again at OccidentalDescent.com. Folks, the time constraints of commercial talk radio don't do Brad Griffin justice. He's written so much on this that we would like to work in. But
you know, the one thing I love about Occidental Descent, every other group that you go to, every website, if you read at 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got it read. With Occidental Descent, you got to go back every couple of hours because he's got new content up there all the time.
He's a prolific writer. Anyway, Brad talks about why he hates the pro-choice movement. I'll just read a couple of excerpts very quickly, talking about abortion being murder. Butchering a fetus is murder, he writes. It's not just murder, but a mother voluntarily killing her own child and disposing of her offspring for what is usually lifestyle reasons makes it even more awful. A mother killing her own child is deeply unnatural and perverse, and you have to wonder about the long-term consequences of such an act, such a grotesque act on the social order. Something to consider. Abortion strikes at organic bonds, he writes. Talking again about the organic bond between a mother and a child dwarfs even the bond between kin and racial groups. And basically, Brad's point here is if a mother can have no connection to her child, how could she have any connection to her race and to her extended family? He talks about liberalism run wild, how abortion demolishes traditionalism, it cuts blood ties, emancipates a woman's sexuality. It's nihilistic, disposes of future generations. Abortion makes it impossible to conserve anything. Massive political consequences and the shame of it all. Brad, I think it's a much easier question. It's a much easier question if we lived in an ethnostate. We do not live in an ethnostate. You were touching on this just a moment ago, though. But going back to the moral aspect,
we don't even live in an ethical state.
Going back to this piece, though, Brad, tackle this from a moral argument. Go a little bit deeper into that article I was just reading from.
Okay, well, I mean, right off the bat, I think most people who are pro-life would agree that abortion is murder. There's that case, which, you know, is straightforward. It's not just murder, but a mother disposing of her child. If you want an entire society that's built on, you know, kinship, organic bonds, that is the closest bond of them all. If you like cut that bond, then you'll sever, you know, pretty much the whole foundation of civilization. And that's what's happened. It's not, I mean, you got to think, it's not just the mother-child bond. The wife-husband bond is also, you know, cut by divorce, which has become more easy to do since around the same time period.
The no-fault divorce initiative.
Right. Right. You got no-fault divorce in a lot of states. It weakens. So there's a weakening of, you know, family, marriages, a weakening of ties between mother-child. And, you know, that's the whole foundation upon which, you know, more distant bonds of, you know, ethnicity and even still further bonds of race, which is far more distant, are built. So, like, the way I see it is, if, you know, you demolish that, you just undermine everything. And not only that, but 60 million, I mean, we've had 63 million abortions in this country. And really, you know, something that, I can imagine watching a procedure like that 63 million times. I mean, it's you'd have to live in a very rough society. It's very, very desensitized. I mean, just the overall numbing effect that it has across our whole culture. It makes if something that awful is allowed to happen, it makes it a lot easier to tolerate interracial marriage or miscegenation or gay marriage or
homosexuality.
It opens up all, right. It opens up all kinds of things. And then, like I was explaining, the logic of the pro-choice movement, you know, the whole thing is based on a glorification of the self and a glorification of autonomy. And then the same kind of logic that sustains that, you know, self-expression is the ultimate good, is the same kind of, is led those, that same crowd down the road to the notion where, you know, a man can become a woman by wishing it, and society has to go along with the delusion in order, because that is, we've raised self-expression to like an insane level. And of course, all kinds of societal interests is cut out of this. You can't have a civilization that endures over time that doesn't regulate sexuality, like all cultures that last across centuries do that. And I mean, you can read go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it doesn't empower everybody. It empowers women. It's, you know, this is the original "I'm woman, hear me roar" type of adjudication with the Roe versus Wade. Doesn't matter what the husband or the father thinks. It doesn't matter what society thinks. Doesn't matter what the church thinks. Doesn't really matter what the state thinks. The only person that has a vote is the woman bearing the child.
That's absolutely right. You know, it cuts the father out of it. It cuts society out of it. It's terrible. I mean, it creates, you know, really like a class, like it creates, you know, the Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren class of people. I mean, and
that's a good enough argument right there.
is that more valuable than civilization and birth rates? I doubt it. Go ahead.
Here's the bigger interest of me on this question to me is, can it facilitate or hasten a breaking up of the existing order? Can it facilitate a balkanization of America? Can it play a role in a secession of some sort? If it can, then I'm all for it. There are reasons
well,
I am opposed
to the left to say that they want to secede, not that we want to secede, but they want to secede.
I'm of two minds on this issue. I agree with you, Brad, and I agree that I'll tell you why I disagree in the next segment, but not necessarily with you, but that this is a great victory for our people overall. But can it, in your opinion, Brad, hasten some sort of balkanization or a break in this country?
Well, I mean, that's already a feature of a lot of the coverage. It makes, you know, it alienates liberals from red states. And that's one thing I hope it happens, you know, that, you know, a lot of these people who've moved here find, you know, I can't abide living in a Jim Eagle state like Georgia. Which is immoral and has banned abortion. Therefore, I must self-deport back to New Jersey or New York or another, you know, moral utopia like that.
You know, that's not a joke, you know. I mean, imagine if all of these Northerners that have moved down to Georgia and turned it purple would move back as a result of this. That's, you know, that's
maybe they'll jump off a cliff like lemmings.
That would be.
I don't know if people are necessarily going to move because of this.
It'll yeah. certainly it'll
no,
certainly
no, that's
be
exactly
one thing that
what
deters.
That's exactly what.
Go ahead.
Yes, it may not. I mean, they may not be so upset about this because how many people are actually having abortions? It doesn't affect
right.
everybody. You may be already past that season of life. That's your childbearing years, so you're not going to move because of it. But maybe some will. But certainly it could negate them or discourage them from moving down.
Well,
to
it still
state.
Affects them in that it prevents them from remaking us in their own image.
That, to me, is more interesting than the whole life versus death type of thing. I mean, look, obviously this is a culture of death, and they've embraced mm-hmm. it, and it's a sickening thing. It'd be more sickening in an ethno state, but it should definitely be opposed in an ethno state with, you know, a few exceptions. But in any event, this is something that is profound, and what's profound is that you've seen a seismic cultural shift. We were talking about Elon Musk a week ago, and then now we're talking about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Who would have thought it? Not me even a week ago tonight. So, but I am going to play devil's advocate just for a second with Brad Griffin when we return, and we'll see how he responds. Is this a great thing for our people overall? Who's having these abortions? Does it benefit us that they will no longer be able to? Well, that's the question we'll get into next.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Under my thumb, her eyes are just kept to herself. Under my thumb, well, I can still look at someone else. It's down to me. Oh, that's what I say. The way she talks when she's spoken to. Down to me, the change has come. She's under my thumb. Say a song.
Well, that's certainly what AOC and Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton and Brad Griffin has put up some quotes and some...
Those paragons of femininity.
He's put it up there at Occidental Descent. Folks, if you're not at OccidentalDescent.com every day, there's something the matter with you. That's all I can say. He's been covering this extensively, more so than anybody on our side, and he's done a great job in doing it. And I don't disagree with anything that he's written. However, looking at this pragmatically, I look at it this way, Brad. Mm-hmm. I had said for years on this program that we have to wait it out. We have to wait it out because eventually the fundamentalists are going to inherit the earth. The fundamentalists, the Southern Baptists, the Muslims, the Orthodox Jews maybe.
If they will only get away from Jewish dispensationalism.
All right, but I'm just saying, but they're not the ones having abortions. Now, look, there's always exceptions to this. The people who have abortions... I know women who have had abortions, friends of mine, the ones that I know who have done it certainly have grown to regret it over the years as they've gotten older. But I wouldn't necessarily say that these are evil people. These are people that I knew growing up and still know to this day. So perhaps other people know, friends or family who have had abortions. But ultimately, who is having these abortions? I don't know, Brad, if it's the people who would ever be able to align with something greater than themselves. That you talked about the individualistic nature of people and how that plays into abortions. But I don't know if these people who are severing the ties with their own offspring could ever have any sort of devotion to their kin or to their race. If it's not, and this isn't necessarily even a black or a white issue, but if you want to talk about the whites, I was up at the inauguration of Donald Trump. And you were there too, Brad. And the very same weekend, they had the purple, the pink hat rally. And so we were there basically at the same time. The Women's March, which was basically a pro-abortion march. And it was overwhelmingly white. A lot of them were staying at my hotel. I saw a lot of them. I mean, they were all over the place, but you know, there were a lot at my hotel. And you're talking about obese freaks. All right. You're talking about purple and pink haired freaks, ugly. And this is something that I think the culture of death does.
Like a freight train take a dirt road.
Well, if you're evil, it manifests on your outward appearance. And this is certainly an evil. But again, it's not, for the most part, Brad, it's not white Christian traditionalists who are having abortions. The people who are having abortions are totally opposed to everything we stand for. And they are basically taking themselves out of the equation. They're taking future generations out of the equations, forcing them necessarily to have babies. Does that help us?
They're Sybarites.
Let's let him answer. Does it help us long term? That's just a devil's advocate's question.
Okay, I tend to think the whole issue is just kind of overwrought. Like, for example, most people who came to the Women's March are sure came from blue states, where, you know, if anything is going to happen, the backlash to this will be they'll make abortion more easy to get, right? Because it'll
be with infanticide.
It'll be an identity issue for progressives. So they'll try to make their state legislature, like in places like New York, easier to get abortions. In the red states, will go in the opposite direction. Now, Does that mean that the red states will completely 100% ban every abortion, or will they just, you know, is it a patchwork where they, you know, limit it, you know, to maybe a shorter time period? What kind of exceptions do they make for like rape, incest, things like that? And like we said earlier, most abortions, you know, in these days are through some kind of pill, and that's going to be the future of abortion anyway. So, and then, like, you know, if people really want to get an abortion, they can just go to a blue state, just like people go to buy like pot in Illinois from Missouri. So I think, you know, when this all shakes down, people are going to really find out that it really hasn't really. It's not going to change near as much as people think it is.
When all is said and done, more will be said than done.
Yeah. People who want to get an abortion will still get an abortion. Blue states will make it easier to get an abortion. Now, as to the point whether, you know, like you said, like the kind of people who are having this are, you know, generally bad people anyway. And that is true. I expect those people, you know, we'll still just continue to carry on and get an abortion anyway. Where was I going with this? Yeah. The another thing that's important to notice is that, you know, not only has the number of abortions changed, and that it's just been going down and down and down for my lifetime, at least, but like fewer and fewer whites seem to be doing it anyway. That's why, like, it's only been recently that most abortions have become, that black abortions have outnumbered white abortions. I mean, I believe that changed around 2014 or so, very, very recently. Now, as to whether all the politics of this is hereditary or cultural, like one thing you notice about abortion patients these days is that like over a third of the people who have abortions now are college graduates. They've been the so the people who are getting abortions tend to be more and more these professional professional class people, people who
PMCs, you know,
PMCs, and that's what and that's where I really think this is going. I think this abortion decision is going to accelerate the the trend already is that like the Democrats are becoming the party of PMCs, and you know the Republicans are becoming the party of rural working class traditionalists, and things are actually becoming less and less racially divided. I mean, there's a lot of data that, and this was kind of a shock to me, that the Democrats are losing their grip on even black Protestants now. Like, I guess the trans stuff. I mean, there's a lot of data in there. Like, Joe Biden's approval rating with even blacks is way down. And, you know, the whole Democratic coalition depends on, you know, they don't have to just win Hispanic liberals or Asian liberals or black liberals. They got to win Hispanic conservatives and Hispanic moderates and black conservatives and black moderates. And if they don't, and if non-whites start voting because of issues like this, more based on ideology, religion, and less on race, I mean, that's doomed. that's a doom for the Democrats. And, you know, especially
Brad,
my
friend, I was just going to circle back as we begin to run out of time. I certainly didn't intend to cut you off, but I wanted to circle back to something I think was the most beautiful thing that you've written. You've written so many things, and again, I'll give the website, occidentaldescent.com. You've written so many things that I agree with on this issue over the course of the last week. One of your blog entries there to OD was entitled Abortion and Neglect: Why is Abortion So Bad for the White Race? And you wrote this, and I would encourage people to read it, but this is one of the excerpts, and I quoted it on my Twitter, in fact, and shared the article. You wrote that people who don't care about their own biological offspring can't be expected to care about their race or something as abstract and distant as the future of their entire civilization. That's worth reading, folks, there at OD. But, Brad, I would ask you this in closing and give you the final word. My position is that anything that makes the left so hysterically overreact and perhaps even so far as into making mistakes is good for us. I remember with relish watching the election night returns on 2016 and just being gleeful. And we've seen that again. You know, Trump gave rise to the Black Lives Matter movement. And because of BLM, millions of white people marinated in racial realities. And we've seen that. And we talked about this last year in Biden's first year. Brad, you were on this program a couple of times to talk about all of those very, very provocative and interesting poll statistics that talk about how many that flesh out how many whites are beginning to come to our way, even when you use terms as loaded as white nationalism. And so people are beginning to do that because white people are beginning to do that because of the overreaction of the left on so many issues. Elon Musk is making them freak out, and the Supreme Court now is really making them freak out. Can it make them so overreactive to where they make mistakes that will play into our hands? How can this issue benefit our people? And again, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Is it good for our people? How can what has happened with the Supreme Court this week be good for our people? Brad Griffin, final word to you.
Like you said, absolutely. They're definitely going to overreact. That's a given. If anything, this thing will probably juice turnout amongst Democrats, among, you know, the college graduate, professional class, hysterical white woman who lives in a metro area, supports Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton, people like that. And insofar as that wing of the party, you know, is given prominence, it's really a good thing. Like, one of the reasons that Trump like won in 2016 and lost in 2020 is because of the gender divide. There's a far more big gender divide in 2016 when he's running against Hillary. They kind of closed under Biden. But if this radical, shrieking, college-educated, white feminist, professional class woman becomes the image of the Democratic Party, that's going to, like, It's going to like continue to exacerbate their problems. It's going to drive away male voters of all races. It's going to continue.
Party of cat ladies
is going to break. Is going to make things harder for Democrats to win. Like the reason they can't get anywhere now is because it's been harder and harder and harder for them to win Senate seats because they can't compete in working class states and rural states, and it just dooms their whole agenda. So yeah, it's great. It's going to lead to more victories ahead, in my view, which I did not expect.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can read for yourself Brad's thoughts on why this is good for our people at OccidentalDescent.com. I'm there right now. A Baptist America is inevitable is one of the headlines.
We got to talk about that one.
Hey, it's all great content. Brad, love you, buddy. Great to have you on tonight. Roger Devlin is still coming up, folks. Stay tuned. Sam, Brad, and Roger, what a triumvirate it has been and will continue to be the next hour. Thank you, Brad.